And the next one was a theologian.
Blog I got three Radio.
Okay, praise God and welcome to our deliverance seminar, How to Cast Out Demons. Let's get started right now. I won't say that they don't know how because I don't know who's out here who's listening, but I do know that in the first early days of the church, Paul dealt with the gifts of manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. And these gifts, for members alike, are manifested in the Spirit. For an indispensable part of the early church ministry. But today, we don't see that. Of course, there's a lot of people that say that they cast out demons and they don't do it. I was with Shannon Davis when he said he called it triage. He doesn't even speak in tongues. He doesn't have any power. And he's talking about casting out demons. Well, he did something that Jesus didn't do. Jesus never cast out any demons until he got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And right after that, bam, he went right into the work with the devil in the book of Mark. So you have a lot of people out here say that they cast out demons, and you got people with the movies, the exorcism, and all this stuff. Demons manifest like that, but you can get deliverance from many ways. We said that and taught about faith. Jesus said, go, thy way, thy daughter's gone, and the devil has gone out of thy daughter. Believe and go in faith, she's healed. That there's the confrontational exorcism is what I'm talking about. When you're dealing with people, and you have to understand, when you're dealing with human beings, they're very fragile. And if you don't really have the gifts of the Spirit, I suggest you not try to cast out no demons. You need the gifts. Jesus was the Son of God. He is the Word. He became flesh. So him, God, and the Holy Ghost are one. But we are not like that. Okay, we're immortal. We're human beings created in the image of God, but also born into sin. So we need these gifts in order to deal with satanic forces, and a lot of people don't talk much about it. And I want to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. Lord, use me as your oracle. We come up against all satanic forces that will try to block the ministry and the word that's going forth this day. We ask that we continue to stay on air by your mercy and your grace. And we ask that you also forgive us for all of our sins, known and unknown. Your word says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our fault, that he is just and able to forgive us for all unrighteousness. To forgive us for all unrighteousness. Now, if you don't see the ministry of deliverance in your church, it should be activated. And it's not activated. I don't see any of these big mega churches and these preachers on TV deal with the supernatural. Now, you can go to YouTube, and I was on there, and thank God and I'm off. I only stream Derek Prince on our YouTube segment. Because everybody talking about the end of deliverance ministry. Well, I'm going to show you scriptures of what you need to do to be in this ministry. Because Jesus commissioned anyone, said, in my name, that you should cast out devils. But if you don't see it being in action, you have to see it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, to do and teach. And if you don't see your pastor doing it, you're going to be in some trouble because you don't see it. And when you're doing the ministry of deliverance, it is two kingdoms colliding in the natural, two unseen forces, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, colliding in combat, in spiritual combat. And a lot of people don't know this, but I just want to say this because most people don't ever see the ministry of deliverance in their church at all. And the bad thing about it is that when Jesus appointed his 12 disciples, one of the first things he appointed them to do was to cast out demons. And we see this evidence in the book of Mark, chapter 3:13. And he goeth up into a mountain and called it unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he, Jesus, ordained 12 the original apostles of the Lamb, these are the original apostles, ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach, one, and to have powers to heal sicknesses, two, and to cast out devils. Know that you see sicknesses and casting out demons are two separately. Why? Because there are natural sicknesses that Jesus can heal, and there are demonic sicknesses. And a lot of people don't know that. When you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, I recommend that you get the ministry and get the Holy Ghost and get some power before you'd be dealing with demons. And there are gifts that the Lord has assigned for believers. And we are a Bible-based ministry. If this is the first time you've heard this, you just need to go get a Bible, because I'm going to come straight out the Word of God. And you can't get mad at me. If it's the King James, we don't do NIV. We don't do Amplified. We don't do New King James. We don't do none of that. Moffat, Versions, Translation. We do the King James. Amen. The raw, as close as we can get with understanding the scriptures in our English language. Now, there are gifts that I should suggest that you have when you're dealing with demons, because it's more effective. But you cannot deal with demons in the intellectual perspective. That ain't working, okay? So then you need to know that. The Bible says that these gifts are for us to help us in ministry, and they are labeled in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, is for the body of Christ. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge is when the Holy Spirit gives you information about a person. And you may be dealing with a person, and the Lord may give you information about them or about that particular spirit, and it can definitely help you when you're doing deliverance. I remember one time when I was at the hospital as a chaplain, someone came to me, and the Lord gave me word of knowledge that this person was dabbling with the occult, and they didn't necessarily recognize it as sin because of ignorance of how they was raised. And I had to show her out of scripture that that's not of God. And as soon as that happened and she repented, the Lord opened up her understanding of the scriptures, because she didn't know. So she repented. And she really started excelling and learning in the ministry of deliverance. Now, what I recommend all of us to do is to get these gifts. First of all, get the Holy Ghost. You need power. Amen. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's in Acts 1:8. You need the power from God. And you need the word of knowledge to give you understanding of what you're dealing with. Then the Bible says, to the same spirit, to another faith. It takes faith to cast out demons. That's right. You got to have faith to believe in Christ to cast it out. And it says, by the same to another, the gift of healing. That's to get people to get healed. You need this gift. You don't have these gifts, they can't get healed. To another, the working of miracles. Now, I want to show you something. It says, to another, the working of miracles. To another, again, the working of miracles. Pay close attention to what I just said. You got to hear this. Let's read this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. Now, I want you to know that when you cast out demons, this is a miracle ministry. Now, where's that written in the Bible? Hold on to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you are listening to me, I really would advise that you take notes and write these scriptures down. I am scriptural based. Amen? Scriptural based, not intellectually based. but scripturally based. It says miracles to another, the working of miracles. Now, I want you to see something. Hold on to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, because we're going to come back to it. And please turn to the Word of God in the King James Version to the book of Mark. And let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 38. Again, go to the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 38. Now, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians. We're talking today, this evening on the Sabbath, of how to cast out demons. So I need to break it down. As I said earlier, you have to see it in operation. That helps. I saw it at Fellowship of Faith Church International. So I was used to seeing it. I've seen it in Jamaica. So I was Roman Catholic. I didn't know the Lord, but I did see an exorcism when I was a young man in the Roman Catholic Church, and I was excited about it way back then when I was a child. Not even knew that I had a calling for this ministry. But it is a miracle ministry, and that is proven in the Bible as it is written in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 38. And let's see what this says here. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. So he didn't follow the 12 apostles. So that means if someone saw Jesus during the time of his earthly ministry casting out demons, then they believed in his name. They had the authority to operate in that name and to cast out that devil. This person was not even mentioned as one of the 12. As a matter of fact, the author, which is the Holy Spirit, just say we saw one that was someone casting out devils doing the same thing that Jesus was doing in his earthly ministry. And look what Jesus says. And John answered him and saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbid him because he followed not us. They wanted to stop him, but let's look what Jesus says. In Mark 9:39, but Jesus says, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Casting out of demons is a miracle ministry. It takes a lot of time with people. I've been doing it for 14 years. And I have slacked off, not because I wanted to, but it will drain you. It is very demanding. You need to stay in the Word. Stay away from certain sins. Repent before you do any deliverance, because ain't none of us perfect. We all are like filthy rags, every last one of us, and all of us depend on God's mercy and God's grace. And I thank God for his mercy and for his grace, because I would not be here if it wasn't for his mercy and grace. Amen? So it is a miracle ministry. Now, these gifts that you need, again, is mentioned in the spiritual gifts for believers. It is for all of us, and 1 Corinthians 12:10 goes back to that where it says, to another the working of miracles, and then it says something very interesting after that, to another prophecy, to another, here we go, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits, that's what the Holy Spirit, this is a gift, so you'll be able to discern the spirit that you're dealing with. So the Holy Spirit will give you the discernment of that particular demon in that person. Some people ask me, I had an email from Brother Carl Kilton from East St. Louis, Missouri, asked Pastor Overton, do you do anointing oil when you do deliverance? Sure, if I have anointing oil, that will work in the ministry. Well, why is that? According to the Bible, anointing oil is a symbol of being set apart by the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose in God's kingdom. Anointing oil, it's first mentioned in Genesis chapter 28, verse 18. And oil with frankincense in Exodus chapter 30, verse 25. To anoint the tabernacle, its vessels along with Aaron and his son to make them be set apart for the exclusive use of God. The setting apart is seen again with the Lord in kings who rule over Israel. Samuel consecrated both Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, and David in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, to the office of king by anointing them with oil. Oil was used at various other times of mourning in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 40, and in Micah, M-I-C-A-H, chapter 6, verse 15. Anointing symbolized the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to fulfill a specific appointment by God and reaches the completeness in Yeshua, the Messiah and the Son of God. Anointed ones are set apart to the office of king, priest, and to bring salvation to all people. In the New Testament, we are also shown to anoint the sick with oil and pray for their healing, both by examples. Luke 10:34, write that down. Mark chapter 6, verse 13, and where it says, use oil in James 5:14. Many times, believers use oil to signify a touch of personal need from the Holy Spirit in their lives or in areas where holiness is needed. For instance, a person may be anointed with a special call and place anointing oil, which is scriptural basis to help a person. So if I use anointing oil, I would use it, but I don't use it, but you can use it. You do need the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that you can discern who and what you're dealing with in the human body. This is why it is very, very important that if you are in the ministry of deliverance, that you know how to test the spirits. Because you are dealing with a spirit world when you are dealing with demons. And we're going to really get into that segment of how to cast out demons by me showing this to you and giving this for you. It says, test the spirits. So when you're doing the ministry of deliverance, you should be able to test the spirits. God wants you to test the spirits. You have to test the spirits. In 1 John 4:1 it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So that means spirits can talk. Because it said every spirit that confess, so spirits can confess. Command the demon in the name of Jesus, I command you by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What is your name? And then you need to test the spirit within you to check to see if it's the demon or the person. Okay, because you're not dealing, when you're doing a ministry or you're performing an exorcism on a person, you have to get the person really out the way so you can deal with the spiritual side. You need to use your human wisdom to see and listen and respond, but the spiritual understanding to the demon. This is the purpose of knowing what spirits are, because we live in a spirit world. And when you test the spirit, it says this, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and that this is the Antichrist. This says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. But if it confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, it is of God. So you can test the spirit. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? You can say that in your spirit. The person don't need to hear that. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, because you're dealing with the demon in the person, not the person, but the demon in the person. So you got to be able to distinguish who are you dealing with. You're dealing with the human being, because Paul says a human being has a body, mind, soul, and spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. So you have to distinguish by the Holy Spirit to test the spirit to see who and what you are dealing with. This is imperative that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit in this ministry and that you operate in gifts. I've seen many Christians with no Holy Ghost trying to cast out demons and really struggle. I'm talking about really going nowhere with the person. You need these gifts. This is a miracle ministry, and the Lord wants us to test the spirits. He says this. test the spirits. If you want to find out if a person lying while they're preaching, and a person walk up to you and say, the Lord told me in 9 months, that's what happened. This guy named Drew, about 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, called and told me that the Lord gave me a big old building. That's impossible, because the day I got out my building, which was on Phoenix Boulevard in Riverdale, God told me that, look, you're paying $1,100 a month. You're going to need this to pay these bills. And it was just that much amount of what I've been paying ever since I've been in the ministry. So I obeyed God and moved it in the back of my home, and I have a studio here, and I was able to save money. So I test the spirit. Lord, do you want me to do this? Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And he told me, I, Jesus, come in the flesh. That's when I know it was of the Lord. So if you hear a preacher preaching to you, or someone telling you something that they want you to listen, just listen to them and test the spirit. Lord, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And if he said, I, Jesus, come in the flesh, that is of God. If it doesn't say that, it is not of the Lord. Now, we're dealing with demons, which are spirits. Now, I'm going to come out of some information. It's copyright written in 1972. Casting Out of Demons by H.A. Maxwell White. And I'm coming from chapter 1, The Strange World of Spirits. We need to know that you are not dealing with a human being when you are dealing with demonic spirits. Okay? Demons. No clear biblical account, but clear direction of how to get rid of them. Demons are persons without bodies. They have personalities and traits and habits. The demon of lust pulls you into perversion. The demon of alcohol makes you drink alcohol. The demon of cursing, because the Bible says, don't let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. That's when you have it doing the problem in the flesh. But in the spirit, if you can't control yourself and you find yourself constantly being gravitated to cussing, I guarantee you, you have a demonic spirit. They are persons without bodies, and the demonic objectives, they have three main objectives to human beings. Three objectives of demons. One, to torment and torture you. Two, to keep you from knowing who Jesus Christ is as Lord and Savior. Three, to keep you from serving him effectively. That's their job. And to entice you to sin. Demons want to entice you to sin. And Jesus, the Lord brother, hit it on head. I remember listening to this years ago. And as I heard Derek Prince, that thing jumped out in my ear. And I said, Lord, I got it. The Bible says in James 1:14, write this down, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. That's independent. Now watch this. And enticed. Now who's the enticed? That's the demon. Demons entice. Our flesh is drawn to it. Why? Because the flesh is the carcass of sin. It's the sinful nature of us. Sin lied at the door of any of us, Genesis 4, 6, and 7. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the devil likes that, because this is how he can get a part of your life when you give up, and you're fighting for something, and all of a sudden you keep dropping the ball. Well, just repent. I don't care what kind of sin you have, brothers and sisters. Don't never stop asking the Lord to forgive you. The righteous shall fall 7 times, and yet he get back up. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. In Romans 8:23, all things work together for the good of the Lord. Always call on God. Repent. This is why he said in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your fault, that he is just and able to forgive us for all unrighteousness. Repent, get back up, and keep coming to Christ, and I guarantee you, you will get the victory. They want to keep you from knowing who Jesus is. They want to keep you from serving him effectively. Now, distinguish between flesh and demons. The flesh is our old carnal nature, is inherited from Adam and Eve. It is the rebel. The remedy for that is crucifixion of the flesh, and that's a lifetime. Amen. Evil spirits are evil that goes into the human body that needs to be cast out by the authority and the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to read this. This is a book that has a pamphlet, and I got all kinds of collections. This is from H.A. Maxwell White, Casting Out of Demons, and I'm only going on page one. I want to introduce this to you because it's very, very important. It has some stuff in here so that people can understand the spirit world. It says, "The strange world of spirits," and I'd like to read this to you. "You foul spirit of fear, come out of her in the name of Jesus." I knew that nothing else would help her, he said. It was in the closing moments of a home prayer meeting in Florida. A few people had decided to stay for the prayer of deliverance. Among these was this fearful woman. Pay close attention to this. Was this fearful woman who had also been troubled with a stiff neck for many years. I began to pray in all such cases by commanding the spirit of fear to come out of her. Immediately, there was a reaction. And for the next few minutes, this spirit began to choke out of her until peace returned. Then God brings to her mind the following expectations of how she had come in this miserable condition in the first place. When she was 5 years of age, it had been customary for her father to tell her bedtime stories. Now, pay close attention to this, because this is how the devil attacked young people, by older people doing things that they don't understand that spiritually can bring demonic spirits to a child or anybody. Pay close attention. All right? When she was 5 years of age, it has been customary for her father to tell her bedtime stories. These was not edifying stories, but terrifying ones. One night, he outdid himself in horrible fiction. The hero of the story was Mr. Bloody Bones, the ghost. The details were so frightening that the child began to scream in terror. The mother came in and commanded her well-meaning husband to get out of the room. She then tried to speak peacefully words to her child, but it was too late. The damage had been done. The demon of fear and anger jumped right in her. When her mother went out of the room, the little girl burned herself underneath a patchwork, quietly, completely in fear, constantly in fear. Finally, as a result of this terrifying experience, a spirit of fear entered her, remaining in her body for 50 years and bringing with it a spirit of tension, causing stiff neck in the neck. So you can imagine how relieved she was when we cast the demon out of her. I am well aware that this kind of ministry is difficult for some to understand. Why is it so difficult for people to understand this ministry? Because the deliverance ministry is not based on human intellectualism or fleshly mind or carnal thinking. It is based on the realm of the Holy Ghost and in the spirit realm, because you're dealing with spirits that's in people. Remember, Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities in high heavenly places. I'll give you an example with Mr. Trump. He's not saved. God spared his life. There are many spirits following his personality. When you lie, when you commit adultery, when you fraud people, when you steal from people, these are spirits that's operating in him, and people who follow him are really attached to the same demons. This stuff goes all the way to the politics, to the house, to the home. Demonic spirits do live in people. Amen. Jesus cast out many. Remember that. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you will read the prayer of the Apostle Paul, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man is triune. First spirit, then soul, then body. Man is therefore primarily an essential spiritual being. Way back in the beginning of God, fashioned a human body out of the dust of the earth, and then breathed into this lifeless body the breath of life. I do not believe that God mainly expanded Adam's lungs with fresh air. Obviously, it would take more than this to cause him to live. I believe that God literally breathed into man his own life. He breathed spirit into him, for God is spirit. Man is therefore first a spiritual being. He was never intended to use his mind apart from his spirit. This is a great problem in the world today, for our modern educational systems are designed on the level of the mind, the fleshly mind. The mind of the man teaches that mind of the man, but the spirit of man is completely ignorant. In fact, unregenerated men simply do not grasp the spiritual needs of man because of the educational resources and the ignorance that they have in understanding who God is. God is a spirit, and he breathed his spirit into us. Therefore, we are spirit beings too. Now, when we die, our flesh don't go to heaven. It rots. It goes back to the earth. It's our spirit. And if you have a demonic spirit in you, I did witness this with my mother. I saw when my mother, I went to visit her, and my sister looked at me. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out, my mother. And my sister jumped back, because she's Catholic. And she, you know, didn't know what I was doing. But I told that demon, you come out, my mama. You come out, my mother, right now, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Because I taught my mama before she passed away about the ministry of deliverance. And she accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior, thank God, and my father. But at the time that my sister heard that, she asked me, what was that growl? Well, it was a demonic spirit. And when a person dies, their spirit go to heaven or hell, and the demon leave out the body and go somewhere else. The natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit. This is why you can't understand the ministry of deliverance in the fleshly formality of your mind and your education. But they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the mind can understand only the things of the mind, and likewise the spirit the things of the spirit. An old-aged state that birds of a feather flock together, like always, goes like a church with ministries to the needs of human spirits will draw in spiritual people. But most religion simply manifests itself through fleshly feelings. The body, in which the five senses, touch, taste, and smell, are more important to the spiritual things. Therefore, hearing and seeing in the spirit realm is not as vivid as what it was in first century, because now you have educated enemies of God really running the church. A doctorate degree in seminar and the theology, that is a doorway to stop the ministry of deliverance. Not saying all of them are like that. But Jesus says, God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth in John 4:23. We cannot worship God with our minds or in intellect, for this is soulless reason. Long ago, Job wrote, cast thou by seeing find out God? The answer is no. We cannot find God or understand anything about God with our minds or our human bodies. Therefore, God made man a spiritual being. Like goes to like. Deep calling to deep. If man wished to find out God, then the Creator has so made him that he may do so through his spirit. If we desire to listen to a radio program, it is necessary that we tune the frequency of our receiver to exact the same frequency at that of the transmission of what we're hearing. In this way, we can get perfect reception. If we're in range, in like manner, the Almighty God is a spirit, and the spiritual part of our triune nature can communicate with him when we are tuned in through the working of the Holy Spirit. When we communicate with God, we do so with our spirits. Then only do we begin to understand the mind and the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 and Philippians 2:5. We begin to realize that God gives us some of his mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We begin to think as God thinks, but only in part, of course. Our minds become acuted by our flesh, and our spirit is hunger to follow the Holy Spirit. The mind becomes greedy, quickened to understand and to doubt the Spirit of God. But faith in the Spirit man through the Holy Spirit brings freedom from that. We then begin to understand how God imparts such gifts as the word of wisdom and knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. These come from the Spirit of God through the human spirit, not through the mind. If they came through our minds, then it could be said that we just thought them up. But since they came down from God, we do not think them up at all. We simply receive them through our spirits. Any so-called gift which comes from the human mind is a counterfeit gift. One either side of the spirit of man are two spirit powers calling for his attention. One, the one hand is God, the angels who keep their first estate in Hebrews 1:7, the angels who never sin. On the other hand is Satan, who left his state of perfection to become the devil. Many believe that he took with him one-third of all the created angelic beings, and that these now constitute the demons that torment and afflict mankind. Lucifer and God's angels became Satan and his demons. Once a man is born again and learns the secrets of using his spirit instead of his mind, he has opened the door into the spiritual realm. It is now possible for him to have communications with other spiritual beings. And this is spiritual dynamics. By the operation of his own free will, he can have free course with the Almighty God and with the angels from time to time. But unless the maintenance is integrity and his righteousness standing before God, he can easily be seduced by angels of light, by the devil. In 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, who will come to woo him in such the same way as the immoral woman would endeavor to win the affection of a married man. It is a sad state of the fast today that so many Christians who attend regularly and being deceived by angels of light and the sources of intellectualism troubles God in his own heart. Pastors who's teaching that there is no demons. No wonder Jesus says we need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, because we need to read and not believe that foolishness that the devil has brought forth in certain denominational. See Matthew 10:16. We need to be the one step ahead of Satan all of the time, so that his seducing spirits do not come to pretend to be the Holy Spirit, and thus we can understand and discern it by the Holy Ghost. This is where you need to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the nine gifts. A good illustration of the work of an angel and the light of reconciled is in Acts 16, when a young girl followed Paul and Silas. These men are the servants of the Most High, which show unto us the way of salvation. What she said was true. And how many in our full gospel churches today would have applauded such an utterance as being of the Holy Spirit? But Paul was grieved and turned to the Spirit and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. This raised the question, how do we know whether we are communicating with the Holy Spirit or with an evil spirit? Then the answer to this question is found in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Then John goes on to give some specific instructions about trying the spirit. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Wherefore we have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Again, we are a reminder of the work of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. He says, "For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall grow great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect." In the current supernatural realm, we need to be very careful and to check whether these miracles and functions are the work of God. If we do not do this, we are likely to be easily deceived. A sign or a wonder does not necessarily have to be of God. It can be of Satan. The blood of Jesus Christ is still our greatest safeguard, and we would urge that the blood be used in faith to test all that we receive from the world of spirits. Evil spirits are greatly deceptive in mention of this and hate the blood of Jesus. We should practice the cleansing of the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah, more than we do. That blood is very, very powerful in the deliverance ministry. They don't like that blood of Jesus. They hate it. Besides this, God has put in the church a gift of discerning of spirits, which I told you earlier, and I do not believe that he intended this gift to be used by pastors only. This gift is for all children of God, although the pastor is sent by the Holy Spirit to administer the things of the Spirit to the people if he's walking in the Spirit. And most of them are not walking in the Spirit, because the Holy Ghost will draw him to the ministry of deliverance, because Jesus founded this ministry, established this ministry, perfected this ministry, and now sits at the right hand of God for us to learn this ministry. Amen? Now, how can demons enter, and also the characteristics and activities of demons? I will tell you that. Let me first tell you how demons enter. We have to learn this before you learn how to cast out demons. This is going to be a long sermon. This is not going to be something where I can just do it all of a sudden. I may have to get two or three parts to hit this thing. And I'm also going to hit the hammer tomorrow at the same time. And I think this person who's listening to me, whoever they are, thank you for your support. I wish that we had more people. It is so sad that very few people want to hear this. But so many people want to hear me tell you that the Lord going to give you a blessing out of a vine tree, and the next day you're going to get a Mercedes. I can't prophesy that, because the God that I serve is not of this world, and his kingdom does not consist of things. Amen? So here are some channels that you may not be aware of that somebody may be doing and somebody may not be doing. Some of you may not have dealt with this, but I have to be universal, because I have to obey the Holy Spirit, because someone is listening is going to need to know that they got themselves in trouble into something, not knowing and not even having a clue that it was demonic. Number one, astral projection. That opens up the doors to demons. Number two, Ouija boards. That open up the door to demons. Number three, do not have your children playing on Friday the 13th on Fridays at 3 in the morning, shutting the door in the bathroom and saying, "Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary," you will see a demonic spirit. Now, you want to try it, 13th of Friday, go ahead and do it. 3 o'clock, if you're grown and you don't believe that the ministry of deliverance is real, on the Friday the 13th at 3. 3 o'clock is the hour that mocks Christ. Christ died and got off the cross at 3. And 3 o'clock in the morning is specific time for spiritual warfare. So, if you don't believe it, you're grown. You educated enemy of God that wants to believe in your mind, and there's no such thing as the Holy Ghost and all this foolishness. Just put yourself in the bathroom and 13th of Friday, and make sure it's 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and say, "Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary." Oh, you'll see him, and he will come, and he will definitely attack you. So try it out for you grown people, not for children. Table lifting, that's demonic. Okay. Magic eight balls, that's looking into the future. It ain't really looking into the future. It's a familiar spirit telling the demon what you want to hear. Spell curses, mental telepathy, automatic handwriting. That's when a demonic spirit takes possession of a person's mind and soul and begin to write with the left hand. They don't ever write with the right hand because demonic spirits wants to denounce Christ. Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. The demonic is the left hand path. This is why Satanists worship Satan on the left hand. And this is why we as Christians worship Christ on the right hand. Because Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, has given us the authority and the power to cast out demonic spirits. Spirit guides, fortune telling and divination opens up doors to demonic spirit. Tarot cards open up the door to demonic spirits. Magic gatherings, witchcraft, sorcery, Satanism, palm reading, reading your palms. Now, the Bible says that God ordained the stars, so you shouldn't be looking at a star to get your zodiac. These are traps that the devil set up for Christians to deposit themselves into this type of activity, not knowingly that they're vacillating with demons. And they keep dealing with this, and they keep dealing with this, and they keep dealing with this until this thing gets in a person. Horoscopes is the most lightest form of witchcraft that Christians get into. I've been at a place and sat down at the table, and there's other people come and ask, hey, what's your zodiac sign? I hear it all the time. I'm not a Gemini no more. Those demons are gone from me. Stay away from that, because God does not like anybody to practice in that type of stuff. God hates that. Amen. And I felt led of the Holy Spirit to give you where that's written at. Please turn to your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. And God doesn't like us dabbing with this stuff. And God doesn't like it, and he does not want us to walk through the fire. Amen. Forbidden practices against God. Forbidden practices against God in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And let's go to Deuteronomy, and we're going to go to chapter 18, okay? And these things that God is against, he does not want Christians operating in this type of stuff. He warns us about forbidden pagan practices. Again, forbidden pagan practices in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 9, 10, 11, 12, okay? When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that use divination, or observeth of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. That is speaking to the dead. You're not speaking to the dead. You're speaking to the demon posing as a dead person. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before them. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. God does not like us going to black arts. He does not like us going to tarot cards. Those things represent the kingdom of darkness, and they have no place in your life if you call yourself a Christian. Now, let's look at the characteristics of demonic activities. They entice. If it's in word, it comes from a person or a demon. They harass through problems, through situations, and through troubles. They torment with suggestions, emotional and mentally and physically. They compel, biting nails, sucking your thumb. You've seen a person suck their thumb when they're a kid and they can't get away from it? That's a spirit. That's Ornelius. Ornelius, he sucked the thumb, and this child told King Solomon, why is this demon oining and sucking my thumb? So when you see a person sucking a thumb, that's the spirit of oiningness. They enslave people, such as the demonic demon of alcoholism or drugs. I was caught with the demonic spirit of crack cocaine, and I was on it for about 3 or 4 years, and gratefully, I'm delivered from it. Demons defile, project evil, impure images, imaginations into your mind, and if you don't guard your mind, you're definitely going to bring demons. And thou shalt think an evil thought, Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 10. It is our job to cast those thoughts down so demonic spirits won't enter into our spirit man, and we hear that and forget who Christ is. They make people weak, sick, and tired, okay, and they try to kill them, and they operate through the spirit of slumber. Areas in which they operate, I want you to pay close attention to this, because a lot of people don't believe this, but this is true, and the late, great Derek Prince says this. Behind every negative emotion or attitude, there is a corresponding demon. Demons always operate in gangs. They emotional attributes, which is pride, rebellion, witchcraft. They want to control you instead of you letting the Holy Spirit control you. 1 Samuel 15:23. They operate in fear, which is not from God. They operate in rejection, unwantedness, unworthiness. Nobody loves me. Everybody's against me. If they can isolate you with that, then they can start working on breaking down your character as a human being. Resentment. Oh, they love resentment. Unforgiveness. They love it. They love it there because they can really come in there like gangs, their bubble. Anger, hatred, violence, murder. He who hates his brother is a murderer. Or disappointment. You have disappointment in your life. I had a spirit that came into me because I was so disappointed when I lost my mother, and I was very close to two Dobermans just coming into the ministry. They used to sleep with me. I grew up with Dobermans, and I love Doberman Pinschers. They're very protective, very loyal, very aggressive if you train them how you train them, and very loving dogs. And I got a spirit of oppression. I got depressed when I lost my mother. I had to get that out of me because I mourned more than the time that the children of Israel mourned. You can mourn, but if you continue mourn, it's demonic. Resentment, disappointment, loneliness, misery, depression, self-destruction, and suicide. The mind is the greatest battlefield of demons. They start with the thought. And once they bring the thought, they bring the imagination. Let me give you an example. The demon of lying needs a tongue. It has to have a tongue. The demon of cursing needs a mouth to curse. The demon of gossip needs that to bring criticism. Amen? The demon of fornication needs a body, a woman, or a man. The demon of adultery needs a less faithful person to their marriage to open up that door to the demonic. Amen? All right. Now, also, other things that can open up the door is the martial arts, taekwondo. I noticed a young man whose father sent the child to taekwondo, and the child got born again and saved, and during the deliverance ministry, and as we was casting out the demon, he did one of these things here, and I knew that was taekwondo. Be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit when you're dealing with a human being in the ministry of deliverance, because you have to listen to the person, but your spirit needs to be connected to Christ. Now, what I do when people talk to me, I know this is going to sound strange to a lot of people who don't know me. When people are counseling, when I counsel people, I just tell them, okay, tell me your problem. And I just let them talk. I'm not really listening to them. They think I'm listening to them. I'm doing this. And as they talk, I'm just communicating with the Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, I'm not listening to them because I need Jesus of Nazareth. And the reason why I need him, because in Ezekiel 11:5, the Lord know all your thoughts. So I have to depend on the Lord to tell me the thought that that person is going through as I'm extracting the demon out, as I'm following Christ. In order to be a good deliverance minister, you must be humble. Now, you're going to come under a lot of attack. People are not going to like you. You got to get used to that. I'm not liked by a lot of people, okay? Because I'm on front line with this thing. I'm not buddy buddy with nobody. You can't, as a deliverance minister, you can't be nobody's buddy. Well, why is that? What about the Lord want to use you to tell your brother about a sin, but you his buddy so much that you don't want to offend him? You compromise the word of God. I ain't doing that for nobody. Not even my best friend. Not even my wife. Not my mama. Not my brother. Not nobody. And people know that I'm like that, so people don't want to deal with me because I'm not trying to be political and try to sway them because I'm trying to please Christ. Amen? Also, New Age, superstitions, Masons, secret organizations, you really open up yourself to a brotherhood that's not of the kingdom of God but of somebody else, and you start lining up with that, you're going to have yourself problems. I noticed one person, they was a Kappa Alpha Psi, they told me they're going to die Kappa. I said, you need to renounce that. He said he went through the burning sands. I said, there ain't nowhere in the Bible. Okay, and then I really got some as the Holy Spirit gave me Matthew 12, 46 and 47. The Lord gave that to me to give to him. And I said, you need to read this. And then he read where it says Jesus' mother and brother was desiring not to speak to him. They was mad at him. And the Bible says, Jesus says, who is my mother and brother? And the Bible says that Jesus turned away from his really physical mother and turned his hands toward his disciples. He did that as a reason to show us that we must be connected to Christ in order to have the authority of Christ to flow through us and not have any other demonic spirit interfering with the Spirit of God that's within us. So Jesus says, who is my mother and brother and sister? And the Bible says he turned to his disciples and says, but those who do the will of my Father, the same as my mother and brother and sister. So I asked the gentleman who was a cap, I said, how can he be your frat brother when he's a Satanist? And he walked out the deliverance ministry. I never saw him no more. Royal mastery, civil mind control, transcendental meditation. You may say, well, why Passovers and throwing all this stuff out we don't know about? There are people here in this worldwide that may need this. Yoga. Any type of Christian meditation is not, because the Bible tells us that we must meditate day and night upon the Word. That's the only thing that we're supposed to meditate upon. And when you start dealing with meditation that's outside the Word, I guarantee you that you're going to be dealing with demonic spirits. They will come because you're ushering in your mind, your fleshly mind, your fleshly meditation. It's not on Word of God. Then it's on something else. And God tells us in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For them thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So it is not good to be meditating, and they call itself Christian meditation and yoga. I meditate on the Word. I'm not meditating on no yoga, chanting. When you start chanting, you're really opening up a channel of demons to target, and they will zero in on that calling, and then they will attack you. So you're wondering how come you can't get no sleep, because you don't meditate day and night. You have to meditate as a Christian. Christians cannot be meditating on stuff that's not biblical. Let's look at this again. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. We are not supposed to be doing no meditating or no yoga or internet foolishness. Hare Krishna is demonic. Bahanism is demonic. American Native Spirits, get it out of your house. Dream catches. There's someone in Phoenix, Arizona. You have dream catches in your room, and you are being tormented by demons, and you think those dream catches are going to do it. It's not. Please call me at 678-701-3733. Please call me. Hinduism opened up the door. Bala Buddhism, Black Muslims, Rosicrucianism, other non-Christians and cults, occult video games, computer games, movies, horror movies, You don't need that to learn deliverance. Read the Bible. Now, I'm not saying I'm better than nobody else, but I've been in this longer where I can watch certain things and I know what I'm dealing with because I know the scriptures to protect me. I watch Travel Channel because I like my ministry, okay? I don't believe in going in the haunted houses, going and recording EVB recorders and stuff. Those are demonic spirits. I want to cast them out of people. I'm not there to communicate with them. And as a Christian, I suggest that you stay away from paranormal investigations. Then you want to tap into the demonic and you want to test these spirits, you better make sure that God has called you because Satan is powerful and that you have to be behind the blood of Jesus because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So these people who have, they pray and they ask the Lord to dedicate their paranormal thing, and God honors that, and some of these people are interested in the ministry of deliverance where they would like to see people to see spirits through communications, through a talk box. I have a box. It's called a spirit box, but I don't need it because I have the Holy Spirit to give me discernment, and I did use it, and it worked, but I don't need it. The Lord said, you don't need to carry the spirit box, and the demon will speak. I can do it through the Holy Spirit. So should you go get a spirit box? No, okay, because I'm into this ministry, and I enjoy what I do. And I'm always watching and learning to hone my craft by the Bible, not by a movie. Amen? Also, so please stay away from occult practices that opens up the door to demonic spirits. Please be careful with bitterness. You will get a demonic spirit when you are bitterness. It's very, very important to understand when you get bitter and get angry and get mad at a person for a long length of time, what you do is it springs up and it troubles other people, and the devil knows that. Amen? But you don't know that. And the Bible warns us of this because God knows that bitterness can open up doors to demonic spirits. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So this spirit can defile many as it enters into one person. They, with the spirit, has the demon in them of bitterness within their own personality, and the words they say can trouble people and cause them to fall in error. Rebellion, self-will, stubbornness, disobedience, anti-submissive to the Holy Ghost will bring demons. Strife, contention, backbiting, argument, quarrels, fighting and arguing amongst each other will bring demons. Control, dominance, possessiveness will bring demons. Retaliation, destructive, spite, hate, sadism, cruelty will bring demons. Accusation, judging, criticism, fault-finding will bring demons. Fear of rejection, self-rejection will bring demons. Inferiority, self-pity, loneliness, shyness, inadequacy will bring demons. Envy, suspicion, distrust, selfishness will bring demons. Daydreaming, fantasy, lustful thoughts, 2 Timothy 2:22, youthful lust opens up the door to demons. I'm hearing that from the Holy Spirit. Let me, the Lord just say there's somebody out there that needs this scripture. Hang on. Older men who are struggling in areas of fornication, pornography opens up themselves to a spirit of lust. It's called youthful lust. When you 82 years old and you still masturbating, you got a problem. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22 it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Also, insecurity opens up the door to demons, jealousy, envy, suspicion, distrust, selfishness. Now, it is not a demon unless it controls over you. If you can't control your emotional habits, you can't. One man called me, said, Pastor Oven, I just have to cuss every day, even when I don't want to cuss. I just cuss. And he started cussing right in front of me. I said, let's do deliverance. That demon manifests right in front of me. That's when you have a demonic spirit, when you can't stop yourself and it's forcing you to do something that you don't want to do, and you do, you have demons. Depression, oh my God. Despair, despondency, discouragement, don't nobody love me, everybody hates me, me against the world, isolation spirits. And when they come in, they take away your faith, they take away your fellowship with your brother, and they isolate you. Why they want to isolate you? They want to kill you. Well, the Bible said that the thief come wish to steal, kill, and destroy, so there's nothing new there. They like to bring heaviness. Oh, my God, when bills come, I had to repent this week, and I'm going to confess this. Let me, God's given me the scripture first. Hang on. Wait 1 minute. God gave me this. I got to get this scripture. I got to thank you, Holy Spirit. Pay close attention to this. Depression, heaviness, gloom, burden, disgust. If they can get you to be depressed, you can go back into bondage, and they know that. Depression brings bondage. It doesn't bring freedom. Amen. We have liberty in Christ. And what demons want to do is to get us out of that liberty. The Apostle Paul specifically said that in Galatians 5:1 when he stated, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage," the yoke of demons, the yoke of bondage, bondage. The devil wants to bring bondage to you. Worrying, anxiety, fear opens up the door of doubt, suspicion, and no faith. When a person worries, the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14:23. So you start worrying and constantly worrying, and the demons know that, they're going to just keep pouring it on. You got to remember that God ain't going to put no more on you that you can bear. And you got to remember, in any temptation, God can get you out of it if you want to. There's no temptation which is common to man that God will provide a way for you to escape that temptation. 1 Corinthians. Amen. 10:13. God will open up a door. Call on God, because demons don't want you to call on God. I don't care if you sin, call on God. I don't care if you, a guy called me and the Lord said, love him. Don't criticize him. And he said, Pastor, I'm struggling with fornication. I'm struggling with physical fornication. And I just listened to him, and I didn't beat him upside the head. He needed love. The Lord said, don't beat him upside the head. Who's me to judge this man? And because I was patient with him and loved him for him, and I said, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge to tell him, to encourage him, and he repented. And we started doing deliverance, and, you know, he began to get a little more freedom. And as he began to change, to understand that man does not live by bread alone, because if you don't read the word of God, you will open up your door to demonic activity. That I can tell you. And what demons really want you to do is not read the Bible. If they can get you to start, I can't go without reading the Bible a day or two, three, 4 days. That ain't happening. Man does not live by bread alone, and they know that. So if they can get you away from the bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and put the bread in your mouth where you can eat in the flesh, not from the spirit, you will have demonic activity, and they know that. Amen? Also, being nervous, tension, headaches, nervous habits, restlessness, excitement, and solving, rovering, fear of man, fear of disapproval, persecution from others. You may feel that you've been treated unfairly. The devil keep repeating that thing over and over and over and over, and he'll keep working on you. He'll keep working on you. He know that you're not counteracting them by casting down that thought, saying, shut up in the name of Jesus. This thought is not of God. You got to fight back. You got to let your fingers walk and do the warn, Psalms 144, verse 1, take them pages and quote that word to the enemy so that he can extract himself out of your life, because he hates the written word. Mental illness is nothing but demonic, especially schizophrenia, and I'll be doing a teaching on that pretty shortly. I did it a couple of years ago. I need to recapitulate that as the Holy Spirit gives me leadings. Confusion, frustration, forgetfulness is demonic. Incoherence is demonic. Amen. Procrastination is demonic. Compromise, confusion, forgetfulness, forgetting stuff. You don't need to do that. That's demonic, because the Holy Spirit says, don't worry about what you're going to say or how that you're going to say it, for the Holy Spirit at that hour shall teach you at what things you ought to say. Luke 12:11. God does not want us to be forgetful. Self-delusion, confusion, mind-binding, fear of failure, spiritualism, ego, pride, retaliation, intellectualism. That's a very powerful, powerful spirit, intellectualism. That thing really creeps in and start messing people up, and it shuts out the ministry of deliverance when a pastor is very oratorical and intellectual. He's going to excite you with the words, and that sounds like a silver spoon, but it ain't nothing to the devil. Sounds good, but it doesn't fight demons. Amen? Now, tomorrow we are going to get into how to cast out demons. I wanted to give you a basic background of what demons can do. Make sure that you cast down every imagination and every thought that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. Cast it down. Speak against it. If it's negative, I'm not going to put that in my mind. Remember, demons are working that you can forget your train of thought. King James Version, Ezekiel 38:10. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. Remember this before I leave. Ezekiel 38:10 says, thus says the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind. Watch this. And thou shalt think an evil thought. They want you to think an evil thought, because the Bible said, whatsoever is pure, think on those things. Philippians 4:8. You have to counteract what the devil does. We are in a battle mentally and in our thought process between good and evil. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. Tomorrow we're going to come back with, we're going to get into the grind thing of how to cast out demons. And we're going to show you scriptures by scripture of the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to give you the what God gave me so that you can know how to cast them out. You cast them out by the authority in the name of Jesus. You make sure that you have the discernment of spirits equipped with you, 1 Corinthians 12:10, and the word of knowledge. It's time to go now. Our time has ran out. I enjoyed teaching you. The Holy Spirit used me to teach you. I get no glory. It comes from the Lord. It is biblical. If you are knowing any Christians that's serious about their Christian life, please tell them to call us or come watch us. If you got one person watching, tell somebody to come sit with you and listen and learn, because I guarantee the devil don't want you to know anything about his kingdom. If he can keep you away from Christ and keep you from knowing his kingdom, he can send you to hell. And God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hell is for the angels and his demons. Satan's angels and demons is not for human beings. May the Lord Jesus of Nazareth bless you on this Sabbath night. God bless you and shalom. Sow a seed to keep us on air. I want to thank Sammy Osley. God bless that brother. Brother T-Row, Brother Tommy, thank you so much. I want to thank Sister Durden for helping, assisting, for sowing seeds and help to do this ministry. I want to thank Pastor Baker, Rodriguez Baker, for contributing. Sister Sheila, God bless the people who've given to this ministry. And I want to thank those who I didn't mention. If you would like to continue to support this ministry, we're going to have an overhaul. When I settle my case, when you see total new atmosphere, new color, the live deliverance, you know I done got my settlement money, because I'm going to pour it all into the kingdom of God. And I'm working on an FM radio station and to be in Atlanta, Georgia on an FM radio station and in Jamaica. God bless you. You can go to www.livedeliverance.com to sow a seed on the lower left hand of the icon. You can sow a seed there. It is a secure site. Or you can go to www.livedeliverance.com and go to GoFundMe. Sow a seed and keep us on air. We also have Derek Prince teaching 24 hours nonstop every day of the week. How to go there? Go to www.livedeliverance.com and hit where it says YouTube. When you hit that, you'll see live. If it's not on, I always have to reprogram it, because I'm going to check it, because it's on all day. There may be a drop signal for 20 or 30 seconds, but it comes right back up. That's Derek Prince, 24 hours a day at www.livedeliverance.com. We will also be in our Blog Talk segment. We are on there always. On Mondays, we have Pastor Steve Lee. Tuesdays, I teach. Tuesdays, we have Pastor Bernard Allen. I tell you, I met this brother in San Domingo, and he really knows about prophecy. Pastor Alvin Bernard is in our Blog Talk room on Tuesdays. Wednesdays, I'm there. Thursdays, Evangelist Janet Taylor. And Fridays, I'm also there on Blog Talk. May the Lord Jesus of Nazareth bless you. I'm grateful to be a demonologist, one that studies deceit. I'm humble that the Holy Ghost gives me this wisdom. I give all honor and all glory to God. I'm nobody. I'm nothing without God. I'm a humble man. I don't want any accolades. Jesus of Nazareth receives all accolades and all glory. May the Lord Jesus bless all of you tonight. God bless and shalom.
Go ahead, brother.
When a man truly represents God, he don't preach for money.
No.
And you should never have to pay to see him.
That's right. Never. Never.
You gotta buy a ticket to see Jake.
My Lord.
You gotta pay Jake.
My Lord.
You gotta pay Benny Hinn.
Right.
10,000 prayer lines. $50,000 prayer line.
Right.
$100,000 prayer line.
Amen.
And what you get in return?
That's it. Go ahead, brother.
Hallo, ich bin der Mark. Ich bin ein deutscher Teilnehmer der Internetgottesdienste von Fellowship of Deliverance, Internet Radio and International Ministries. Ich lade euch ein, uns auf www.fellowshipofdeliveranceinternetradio, alles in einem Wort.com, sowie auf unserer Facebook-Seite zu besuchen. Wir übertragen dort unsere Internetgottesdienste live auf unserer Website, und zwar samstags um 20 Uhr deutscher Zeit, entsprechend 14 Uhr US Eastern Standard Time, sowie dienstags um 2 Uhr morgens deutscher Zeit, entsprechend montags 20 Uhr US Eastern Standard Time. Samstags treffen wir uns zum Gottesdienst in unserem virtuellen Paltalk-Raum namens Fellowship of Deliverance Demonology mit Leerzeichen zwischen den Wörtern. Der Paltalk-Raum ist im Anschluss an unser samstägliches Treffen für eure Fragen und Antworten geöffnet und wir laden euch ein, euch hieran zu beteiligen. Ihr könnt uns auch auf Facebook unter dem Facebook-Nutzernamen fellowshipofdeliveranceinternetradio.com finden und uns hierüber kontaktieren. Falls ihr in der Region von Atlanta lebt, könnt ihr uns auch sehr gerne direkt vor Ort besuchen. Unsere Anschrift lautet 139 Christopher Place, Riverdale, Georgia 30274, USA. Vielen Dank, dass ihr uns auf fellowshipofdeliveranceinternetradio.com zuhört.
God was at work in the 20th century. There'll be one name that's bound to feature prominently. Derek Prince. A humble man and a world-class Bible scholar, his steadfast commitment to God and obedience to the Holy Spirit turned him into one of the most loved and respected Bible teachers of his time. For over six decades, Derek Prince's life-changing Bible teaching became a source of inspiration to millions of Christians around the world. Derek Prince was born into a British military family in Bangalore, India, in 1915. At the age of 14, he won a scholarship to Eton, and, later on, a place at Cambridge. Having excelled in his studies, Derek was elected to a prestigious fellowship in ancient and modern philosophy at King's College, Cambridge, the youngest person ever to be elected to that position. Derek's academic career was interrupted abruptly by World War II. In 1940, on the basis of his philosophical convictions, he chose to join the Royal Army Medical Corps as a non-combatant. Despite declaring at the time that religion doesn't do much for me, Derek took a Bible with him to read on his postings, considering it to be a philosophical work. At first, the Bible made little sense to him. But as he continued to read his Bible in an army barrack in Yorkshire in July 1941, God opened Derek's eyes. On that day, God taught him two crucial lessons that remained with him for the rest of his life. Recalling that supernatural experience, he says,
"I heard the voice of Jesus speaking very, very clearly through the scriptures, the Bible. And from the day that I heard his voice till this day, there are two things I've never doubted. I've never doubted that Jesus is alive, and I've never doubted that the Bible is the Word of God."
Almost immediately after his powerful conversion, Derek Prince was shipped off to North Africa, where he spent 3 years serving as an army medic and being discipled in God's Word in the deserts of Egypt, Libya, and the Sudan. At the end of the war, Derek was discharged in Jerusalem, where he met and married a Danish missionary, Lydia Christensen. In doing so, he became a father of 8 girls, whom Lydia had adopted. Derek and Lydia lived in Jerusalem until after the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. It was there he felt the calling to both serve and pray for God's people, the children of Israel. It was a calling he passed on to countless others. In late 1948, as the newborn state of Israel struggled for survival, the princes reluctantly left Jerusalem and moved to England, where Derek became a pastor of a small Pentecostal church in central London. As he ministered in London and later on in Kenya and in the United States, Derek sensed that all was not how it should be and could be in the lives of Christian believers. He saw how many Christians often struggle to rise above the challenges of everyday life. That's why he constantly encouraged those he ministered to, that they should get closer to God through Bible reading and prayer. In the early 1960s, while pastoring a church in Seattle, Washington, Derek was thrust into ministering God's deliverance after being confronted by a demonic manifestation right in front of his pulpit. As time went on, more and more people wanted to hear Derek Prince open up the scriptures to them and help them know more of the power of God. The ever-growing demand for Derek Prince's insights on audio and video cassettes as well as books led to the opening of the Derek Prince Publications Office in Fort Lauderdale, Florida in 1971. In 1975, Lydia died after nearly 30 years of fruitful marriage and ministry with Derek. The loss was devastating for Derek, but he began to work and travel more than ever. A couple of years later, while in Jerusalem, Derek prayed for a woman named Ruth Baker, who had seriously injured her back. Over time, the Lord revealed to Derek that he was to marry Ruth, whom he hardly knew. Following much prayer and testing, Derek and Ruth were married in 1978, and the Lord launched them into a new phase of ministry together. This new phase was marked by the launch of the first daily radio broadcast, Today with Derek Prince, which initially aired on 8 stations in the United States. The word God gave to Derek about using radio for ministry was, "Proclaim, short, simple messages, easily understood, declaring basic scriptural truths." Today, Derek's radio broadcasts, books, and internet-based resources reach millions of Christians around the globe in over 100 languages. Derek and Ruth Prince continue to minister in many nations as the demand for Derek's teaching increased tremendously until Ruth passed away in December 1998. In the autumn of 2003, Derek Prince died in his beloved Jerusalem, his home for nearly 20 years. He was 88 and left behind a wonderful legacy. To those who had the privilege of knowing him, he left an inspiring example, one of yieldedness to God, love for the church, a heart for Israel, and a roaring passion to see God's people walk in the fullness of the freedom that Christ has purchased for them. To all of us, he left an invaluable treasure of biblical insights in books, articles, sermons, letters, and audiovisual recordings. Derek Prince is the author of more than 50 books, 600 audio and 100 video teaching messages, many of which have been translated and published in more than 100 languages. He pioneered teaching on such groundbreaking topics as generational curses, the biblical significance of Israel, and demonology. In 2002, he said, "It is my desire, and I believe the Lord's desire, that this ministry continue the work which God has begun through me over 60 years ago, until Jesus returns." Today, Derek Prince Ministries continues to combat spiritual hunger by resourcing church leaders, Bible college graduates, and millions of Christians in over 140 countries with Derek's life-changing Bible teaching, fulfilling the mandate to keep on until Jesus returns. This is accomplished through the outreaches of more than 45 Derek Prince offices around the world, including primary work in Australia, Canada, China, France, Germany, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Russia, South Africa, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the United States. It's amazing to consider all that God has done thus far since speaking to Derek shortly after his conversion in 1941, saying,
"It shall be like a little stream. The little stream shall become a river. The river shall become a great river. The great river shall become a sea. The sea shall become a mighty ocean. And it shall be through thee. But how, thou must not know. Thou canst not know. Thou shalt not know."
With millions of Christians worldwide still hungry for life-changing spiritual food, Derek Prince Ministries remains focused on the task of bringing this vision to full fruition.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding.
Oh God, take me there.
Thank you for listening to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're closing with my best friend from Spanish Town, Jamaica, the country that I love more than any country on earth. God bless Jamaica.
I'm waiting. Show me where to go. a burning desire to keep me on fire, fire, fire for you.
Praise God, and again, welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. My best friend, Jermaine Edwards. God, do I love Jamaica. I tell you, God put it in my heart, and it's an honor to know so many people. I want to give a shout out to Waterhouse, Hero Circle, Portmore, Mandeville, Montego Bay, Ocho Rios, St. Catharines, Washington Boulevard. God bless Kingston, Jamaica. We're going to go out with Kevin Downswell. God bless Jamaica.
I'm talking about Jesus, in the closest, my chosen friend.
Jesus.
I fell on my face just the other day. If some of my so-called friends found out, maybe they would have said,
Drop him. We don't need it.
But I ran to the friend of all friends. His arms were wide open. He picked me up and put me back together again. He's my closest friend.
And you gave your only life for a friend. Nah, love so real, you don't pretend to. And you don't treat me like my friends do. Cause when they don't understand, they hate me. You always understand, rebuke in love, then you embrace me.
Love so real, I like how it feels.
How could I ever do without you? How could I ever be without you? Out you, I could never go a day without you. Live my life in pain without you. Till that day when all this ends, you still be my closest friend. The only friendship that I want is yours. My everything, my heart is yours.
Everybody, give some information of what's going on in 2025. It's the will of God. I'll be living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, beginning 2025 of January. I'll stay in Pittsburgh for the season. I'll be going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania tomorrow for the Pittsburgh Steelers training camp, and I'll be in Corvallis, Pennsylvania, and I'll have my summer home in September. I'll come back in January of 2025. I'll be back in Jamaica from January, February to March in Jamaica, April, May, June, July in Atlanta, Georgia, August, September, October, November, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. God bless you. Shalom to you. We win.
I wanna talk to you. I wanna talk to you.
Chuck Berry.
Get away from this earth.